You're listening to a Nerdy Production.
Warning, this is a Nerdy Production.
This is the solo workshop where I will dive into some of my favorite games in my time as a GM, look at the games and why I played the games. The solo workshop will also be on the YouTube channel, so you can see art from the game I'm presenting each week. Roll for initiative! Welcome back to the Solo Workshop. This is episode 3. Today we are talking, or I will talk about one of my passions about the D&D setting, Ravenloft. I've been a bit different than the last two episodes because I also want to mention three of the modules that I've enjoyed very much in the setting, and if you want to pick up this setting in other regression, another way to play the game or the setting than the Curse of Strahd module, these three are some of my favorite modules in this setting, and try to check them out. But later, more than that later.
No, you won't get any XP.
Ravenloft was first established in the Ravenloft Realm of Terror box sets in 99. It was the Ravenloft campaign setting, located in Ethereal Plane as a physical manifestation of the plane, land, monsters, and even people, who created out of the mysterious mist, and the realm acted as a prison where one could enter or be transported to, but there is no means to escape other than the plot or the scenario, and I will come back to that later. Other Ravenloft domains and Dark Lords has been added to the D&D setting and the second edition setting, especially where I have played it the most. And the setting is founded about this. Tracy Hickman and Laura Hickman was actually the first one to introduce this setting or these ideas back in the early the late 70s. The game, when I picked this game up, it was something I want, something emo, I want something far out, dangerous. I love the Van Richten Guides books, the small soft cover booklets that my local role-playing shop had on display. I just picked them up, and let's see, that this is a setting where we want to go in depth with some of the monsters, the classic monster like the ghost or werewolf or so on. I saw the that the modules were created around known antagonists from my knowledge about D&D, like the Black Rose Bloom, where the Lord Soth from Dragonlance setting was the key mark in that setting, or the in that module, to be the primary antagonist in that, and Aslan from the Greyhawk setting, where From the Shadows module was his key moment in this iteration. And I thought that this was something for me. It gave me some horror, it gave me some tools for as a GM to create something else for my players around the table. And there was a lot of like dangerous things. I played a lot of like classic D&D beforehand, and of course the Alcadim setting, as I told you before, but also picking up this setting was a key for me to make it like more emo more real for my players in some sort, but never. It wasn't that dangerous, because D&D and the players in that setting or that system are so powerful and can mitigate a lot of the horror. We can talk about that later also. So, but my good friend Jan was a big Ravenloft geek. He bought all the modules. He was a terrible GM. So I took over and ran a lot of these modules for him, or for my player group. Also at the late night school we had, where we were taught how to be GMs and so on, and two of our teachers on GMing wasn't impressed by my GM style or by the module, so they couldn't figure out if the module or the my style was great. But I didn't care, I just continued to be a GM, as you know. so the From the Shadows was a very hardcore, very high level, where the player should defeat the mage Aslan. Yeah, it was okay, but actually the core concept in the module was where I was drawn into Ravenloft, because the antagonist has something other than just being a bad guy. He actually wants to commit suicide, but he couldn't do that, so he had to challenge some adventurers, some PCs, to come into his cursed castle and defeat him in open combat, in real combat, so the curse was lifted from him, so another one can take his place in his cursed castle, so he finally could die. And that concept, that a antagonist in a role-playing game have not the classic, we are evil dragon laying up top of a pile of gold coins. That was one of the key ways that I took Ravenloft to me and figure out that role-playing stories and antagonists and bad guys and so on could have so many more dimensions. I knew this, of course, from movies, but in role-playing games, I hadn't really fathomed how to do it, and this was a great way to do it. In the years to come, I played a lot in this setting, and my players understood the themes, and I want to have use these modules to make it like intense and grim and dark. And yeah, there was a lot of player characters that was recreated or respawned or created again, because a lot of the PCs were killed in this process, and I tried all the different modules. There's a 1890s module where we play in our real world with the Ravenloft themed D&D thing. It didn't really work for me. I just played some Call of Cthulhu instead, but maybe that will come up in another episode. Spoiler alert. But one of the modules I really picked up and really was something that drew me in more into the setting was the Bleak House module. And that was the first time I ever saw there was a CD with the box set where each of the room was narrated by and each time the group will come into a new room or area in this Bleak House, I should play this part of the module and give the players some great flavor, and there was ambient music and so on. So all my love for ambient and special effects in sound and so on was born here in my back view mirror. If I can see, when I created this episode, I saw that this was the module that really gave me some feelings around what sounds can do around a table. So yeah, and it's the modules are. It wasn't very good, but the idea where we have ambient and this narrator to tell the people, the players what happens in each room was pretty cool and a cool concept. The feel that the players are so underwhelming and weak in the setting, actually, because the Dark Lord has some great special abilities, and I can railroad them very tight, because the mist can just move them around as I please, and the players have to buy in on this premise because there is no really rules around the mists, and therefore the GM can use them as a liberant or as a way to fuck up the players' understanding on where they are in the setting. When running this game, it's important that you recognize that D&D and Ravenloft is a pretty weird beast, because D&D is a hero game and Ravenloft tried to be a horror game, but it doesn't really do either, because it's the players are so powerful and using the Ravenloft setting to try to bring some horror into it, they still have the ability to cast light or cure light wounds and so on, but in these modules you can make it very confined and intense, and making sure that they don't rest up, you can push them on, and this setting is not good for sandboxing, because there is no there's no free harbors. There's no like a city that can go to and trade. Everything that gets by in the modules are things that are in the module. So if they find a plus one longsword, that's the plus one sword, and so on. So you cannot sandbox in this setting very well. I know that the Curse of Strahd is actually a sandbox campaign or a module, but that's another beast, and it's very, very well thought through sandbox campaign, but that's another talk. I have a whole episode about Curse of Strahd, so you can listen to that if you want to know more about that module. So, the premise of the characters, or the premise of the setting in the, for the characters, is that it's very railroady, because these modules are very tight, lean, structured stories, and the players hasn't very much free space to move around. And that is, of course, a premise that you have to sell on the players. But the modules, some of the modules, not all of them, but especially the three I will present later, are so well written and tight up, so the players doesn't mind to be railroaded in them. I have played them a bunch of times, and it's been fun every time. So we will take these three scenarios later, but in aspects of Ravenloft as overview, don't go sandbox in this setting. It's for me, it's not the right setting for it, because it's the small Dark Lord realms are not meant to be explored in sandbox, because they are very two-dimensional. And of course, you can create a lot of yourself. You can create your own whole own realm, but then it's not Ravenloft for me. It's not sandboxy. It's you have to have these intense stories and up in your face kind of thing. I played a campaign twice in it. I just chained through the different second edition modules, where I start with the low levels, and then I just build up through them, tweaked them a little, and make sure my players were on board with these stories, and make sure, and then I set a red line between through them. My characters start in Greyhawk, the Greyhawk setting, and the setting was and when they arrived in Ravenloft, they figured out that one of their arch enemies, Aslan, actually was on this demiplane, and they will try to stop him, but that wasn't that easy, because they have to go around. But my players, of course, in the Session Zero, I told them this, but the characters of course didn't know this, and they have to experience all these modules. And it was pretty cool to have a red line in, but it was never sandboxy. It was module into module into module, and it was very intense, and the players couldn't keep up, and was very stressed out in forward. There's a lot of things in the setting that are weird and great and so on, but if you have to be patient, the players have to be patient about that. The players know that the mists and the Dark Lords have very much power, and these Dark Lords are like Aslan or like Strahd, or yeah, there's a lot of different things. Sakhmet, we will talk about later, or the Figlio, the evil Chucky doll, I also want to talk about later. These are Dark Lords that are trapped in each realm, and each realm are different from the neighboring realm. So you can have a realm that are enclosed by mists, and you cannot move from one realm to another, unless you are talking with these local weird like people that are called Vistanis, and Vistanis are like, yeah, it's like Romas in my our own world. It's just very archetypical, and Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast have got a lot of blowback that they are too. It's a racist portrait of Romas, but I don't see it like that. I think they are so cool and so great, and use them, but of course with respect and around your players. But in perspective of the Ravenloft setting, they are a key member of how to tell the story, and how to let your players move from one realm to another, and maybe one of the characters are Vistanis or half Vistanis. Maybe if one of the characters dies and they can create a new character there, maybe a half Vistanis, so you can use that character to move through the realms or the Dark Lord realms. Each realm, of course, as I said, is different from the neighboring. So you could have one that are like classic England medieval thingy, and then you have the neighboring, that is the jungle thing, where snakes and were-tigers are roaming. But the two realms are not attached as such. It's small, enclosed realms each, and the players has to acknowledge this and figure out this on their own. So it's part of the meta plot for me when I'm setting up these campaigns. As I said, I'm setting up these campaigns where I run 3 or 4 modules in the setting once in a while. It's pretty fun. It's give me a kick of nostalgic, and therefore I make sure the players create characters that can fit into a semi-low magic setting. So no weird D&D races. I'm not a big fan of D&D, as you know. But in aspect of the Ravenloft, there can be so much noise if you create characters that are Loxodons or whatever, half giants as from Dark Sun or whatever. They can be so noisy because it's much more down to earth, like Transylvania kind of dark, and try to hit that mood instead of creating high fantasy races in this setting. So I primarily want to have like classic second edition D&D where we have the elf, the dwarf, the halfling, the gnome, and of course humans, maybe a half orc if that's okay with you. But nothing else. So that's such a cool way to create it. I want to make sure that the players are good aligned in some capacity, because many of the modules will not fit an egomaniac or evil group structure. So they will not pick up the plot threads from each module, and then the plots wouldn't be revealed for them, and they will lose much of the interest in doing whatever they will do in each of the modules. So be aware of this. The setting is so evil and so vile, so you don't have to have players that also are evil and vile. So open the door for having a paladin or very good cleric in the setting, because it's good way to bring some horror. Paladins are very, very pressed in this setting. Clerics have some special ruling where it's harder for them to cast magic because their guard are further away than the normal is, and therefore you can have some great horror elements in the setting. It's a demi plane, so the players cannot leave the plane. In some, if they are high level, they cannot teleport away, or they cannot planescape away from it, and so on. It's only the mist and you as a GM that controls whatever happens in the realms. Create character from the classic D&D settings, like Greyhawk, or Dragonlance, or Forgotten Realms, or even Elfgidim, one of my favorite settings, as I said. But not don't use Dark Sun. It would be too silly and weird mashup of themes for sure. But go nuts if you want. I don't care. But that's my takeaway from playing in this setting, like a thousand sessions or so in this setting. So that's my takeaway from setting up a new group or one-shot scenario for sure. My do's and don'ts in this setting? Yeah, create a group from a known setting, as I said. Use Ravenloft as an escape hatch for my own campaign or for a campaign. If you want to play a longer campaign in Ravenloft, make sure the players' characters are not from Ravenloft, because they don't know what happens, what's up and down in the setting. They don't know what Vitsan is at. They don't know what the mist is. They don't know the rules about paladins or why the Dark Lords are so powerful or why they are trapped and so on. So tweaking these things to make sure that they can figure out and unreal the meta plot for themselves is so cool. That's my takeaway, of course, from creating this, and don't play it too far. I've tried to play like 10 modules in this setting, and that was too much. I will go down on like 3 or 4, maybe 5 modules if they are pretty good and the players enjoys it, of course. Yeah, in hindsight, I don't use the don't create characters like a Vistani character. It will take too much of the mystery out of the game. Maybe later, as I said, if one of the characters dies, take one of those. But and read up on the module again and again, try to figure out where it really works for you, because there's a lot of bad modules in this setting. Also, some that are official and some are unofficial, and many of them are just Forgotten Realms with another with a filter on it, like a dark filter, and don't use those. So my takeaway is pick some of the great scenarios and run them for your players. You can do it like an escape hatch for your own campaign. You run a normal D&D campaign in Forgotten Realms and the players are too comfy, then the mist will take them in, and then we can run the game they either created or the awakened. I can talk about that a bunch in a moment, but make sure that the players are enjoying themselves, of course, and figure out how to run these games. So I have I picked up 3 modules that I think you should pick up if you want to run Ravenloft. If you don't want to run the scenarios as such, but read them, because they have some great ideas and new thinking in and around fantasy games as it is. One of my favorite games, it's in the second edition Age. It was a 2-4 level. The player character should be 2-4 levels, it's called The Created. And the game starts when the players are poisoned and cursed by the evil Dark Lord Figlio. And Figlio is like a Pinocchio on steroids with a evil razor blades of doom and mixed in with the Chucky from the Child Play movies. So you have an idea that this antagonist is pretty horrific. So if you have players that are afraid of dolls and so on, but can handle it, this is a perfect module. If you have players that are very phobic around dolls, as I am a bit, don't run the scenario, because it's give you nightmares. Because when the players are cursed, they wake up in a doll shop as dolls, and they have to fight themselves and find out what happened, of course. And when they figure that out, they have to fight themselves out of this toy shop, because all the toys in the shop are also alive. You have a dragon that breathes fire. It's a small toy dragon. There's a spinning top that will crash into the players. There is a huge teddy bear that will choke them, or they will just capture them and hold them down. It's so cool, and so it's fun, and but still pretty dark and pretty cool to see these new ideas from a game back from the 90s. Like you have to remember this. So they have to figure out who this Figlio is and get their bodies back before Figlio have make this curse permanent, and the players will be captured, be caught in these doll bodies forever. It's a great horror game, short and intense, in a way to disarm powerful characters very easily and make them think outside the box. It's creepy, and it has a lot of funny scenes, and this is a part of the structure. And the story are very good, and the villain is very cool. It's a body snatcher meets Chucky meets Pinocchio. And of course, the most tragic thing, if the players want to dig into the story, there's some cool handouts that tells a story about Giuseppe, that is the doll creator of Figlio, that just won the son, just like in the Pinocchio story. And it's a pretty tragic story, and actually very cool to take a classic classic fairy tale and put it into a D&D setting, times horror, times Ravenloft, times like razor blades with on steroids. So yeah, it's a pretty cool scenario, and I will encourage you to pick it up. It's not a classical scenario, as I said. Most of the times, the players are running up and try to fight off toys in doll, small doll bodies. It's a one or two session module. It's cool, intense. It's fine. So the created, it's pretty cool. Try to find it. You can find it on Drive-Thru and so on. The next one is from level 6 to 8. To 8 to 10, and it is a cool scenario when you, if you want to just be in Ravenloft, like the campaign I talked to before. But if you just want to use it as an escape hatch, you can use when your players will go on a ship, like from Baldur's Gate, and they have to sail down the coast and blah blah blah, and they will walk on to the Endurance, which this the ship is called, and the crew on the Endurance has been up to some misfits and have been cursed by this misfits and has done some pretty bad things. They will now pay for it, but also the players will pay for it because they are on the ship as well. So the players has to figure out how to stop the curse so they don't die by themselves, and have to figure out how to read into what happened in the precursor to when the players arrived on the Endurance. Like I said, run this game whatever your players want to travel by sea. A short story about a cursed ship, and it has a nice plot and a bunch of great characters. Our heroes was drawn into the plot by boarding the ship and finds out quickly that the ship's captain and crew has done some terrible things and must redeem themselves, and the players have to help them with this. The module is actually very bad in the ending. So if I want to, when I run this game, I just delete the last part of the game and figure out something else that are more fitting to my player group. The ending of the plot is that the players have to figure out that evil Necromancer has used the ship's crew to his evil doings, but to stop the curse, the players have to go to this Necromancer's island and beat up this Necromancer. And this Necromancer is level 20, and that's a lot in the second edition, I just might add. So I don't like the ending of it, and I often use like another thing to set it up. The things I've done is like they find the Necromancer's island and they have to break like some seals with some wraiths hunting them down in the dungeon, and they have to fight off the wraiths while they're breaking these seals, and when all the three seals are broken, the Necromancer's power is lifted from the Endurance, and the players can go back to the ship and sail away, and the story ends. I might add, when the two times I've run this latest, I have the players figured it out and they won and all the things, and they sailed back to whatever port they were actually going to, and when they stepped off the Endurance, in the second they stepped on the Endurance, they can see back that the crew will crumble into bodies and die, wither away, and the ship will fall apart and rot and will vaporize on in the harbor. It was a pretty cool thing, because as I said, the crew are pretty well written. There's a bunch of great characters and there's a lot of cool interactions with the crew on board. Use whatever ending you want, but that's just some takeaways from running this game a bunch of times. And it's a great down to earth, very cool horror ship story kind of thing. Ship of Horror. It's great, and it's from 2 to 4 sessions. All depends on how much time you want to interact with the crew and how much they want to go dungeoneering into the Necromancer's Island. But that's up to the you and the players, of course. The last one, and it's one of my favorite games, one of my favorite modules from the Rainloft. It's the 4 to 6 level. It's about like Egyptian kind of culture. The module is focused around Egyptian-like culture, where the former Dark Lord and High Priestess of Bast are awakened by the player's mistake, of course. So the players get the are guilty about that, and it's about, so the players are pinned into to make them make the things good again, and the players now have to stop this priestess of the cat god Bast before she will engulf this realm into darkness and make earth whatever. She isn't a very nice person, and the players will recognize this very soon, because there's a Kool-Aid deer in the module. Is that the priestess Sakmet, or the main antagonist, the priestess Sakmet, will return 9 times, because it's a cat god. The first time it's just a she just has the stats for a zombie with 10 hit points, no abilities other than that, and the players easily defeats her. The next time she will come back. It's a bit more powerful, and so on, and so on, and a bit more powerful, and so on. But in the end, if the players are not able to stop her and come to find her grave inside the evil pyramid, of course, she will be reincarnated as a level 20 Greater Mummy Cleric, and then the players are fucked, because, as I said, it's only for 4 to 6 level characters, and they don't have a chance. So it's a pretty cool mechanic that the players recognize that are under a time pressure, and not like a clock that's just ticks, but every time they make some moves into the scenario, or activates things, or things that the module has noted down, that this is the time that the segment will return and pressure the players again, and each time it will be harder and harder and harder, and it's a pretty cool mechanic. So the players have to hurry up; they cannot sit around, they cannot make a lot of mistakes, and figure out to get into the pyramid and survive the pyramid and go down to her chamber and defeat her. With the artifacts they have to find on their way to defeat her, it's pretty cool. So it's but it's a great module. It's very intense, and it makes some great pressure elements, and it's had a cool antagonist, not only the Sakmet, but also the ruling Dark Lord, which are not interesting that Sakmet will return, of course, because then he will lose, but he wants to control her, so he will also work actively against the players. So all through, if the players want to, how much they want to interact with the other antagonist in the story, and of course how much you want to, it's a module that takes like 4 or 5 sessions. It's actually a smaller campaign, actually, so it's a pretty cool idea, and I love to play that game, and that module especially. I enjoyed it very much, and I played it like 4 or 5 times. It's been fun every time. Only once the players didn't reach the grave in time, and she were reincarnated like a level 20 mummy, and then the game ended right there. So that was pretty fun. Why I don't play this game as much or much as I should. I love running, as I said, these small modules once in a while, but D&D and fantasy is not really my things, beside my own setting Pearl Moon and using this Engine Zero rule, so that's other beast than D&D. But I might try to modules with the 5th edition rules. Tried some of the modules with the 5th edition rule when there was a COVID thing. I ran the Beast of Goblins and the Night of the Walking Dead modules. Not very good modules, but they are very low level, so that was easy for me to convert. it was okay, but still the abilities of a D&D character has access to ruins much of the fun in the horror game, and I'm not enjoying the confines of what a character can do in this this setting with spells, especially if they can go further up in levels. They have a lot of abilities, so if you're running this game, have a great lot of rule mastery, of course, as a DM. That's also always a good idea to have, especially in system heavy things like D&D. But also can pressure the players in other capacities than combat, because D&D is a combat heavy system, and many of the conflicts are handled in combat, and combats against hordes of zombies or evil ghosts are not fun all the time. So that might be the reason I'm not playing Ravenloft as much as I should. But let me know what you think about Ravenloft. I love the game. I love the setting. All the dark, there's so many cool books and art and Dark Lords and so on. And I will, of course, as I always, put a lot of art up on the YouTube page and give you some insights in how what scenarios and so on. I love to see. It's just a great game and a great setting, and I love to hear your thoughts about it. Next week I want to dive into something completely different. It's one of my forever loves, not system wise but setting wise. It's the Call of Cthulhu, 1920s classical. I started with the third edition. I haven't actually been that much of a GM in that setting, so it's mostly like a player perspective, but I have ran a lot of Call of Cthulhu afterwards in other editions and in other systems, or as you know, like Cult or Wesen is much adjacent to Call of Cthulhu. So I hope you want to listen about the Call of Cthulhu setting, and thanks for this, and see you next week. Follow us on Facebook, GM Workshop, the podcast. If you want to interact with us and talk to us, give us a message.